ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Reading from the 7th canto, chapter 15, 5th and the 6th verse.
Deshe kalej samprapte munyannam haridaivatam श्रद्धया विधिवत पात्रे न्यस्तम कामधुग अक्षयम्।
Translation: when one gets the opportunity of a suitable auspicious time and place, one should with love offer food prepared with ghee to the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then offer the prasad to a suitable person, a Vaishnav or Brahman. This will be the cause of everlasting prosperity. Text 6.
Devarshi Pitribhu.
One should offer prasad to the demigods, the saintly persons, one's forefathers, the people in general, one's family members, one's relatives, one's friends, seeing them all as devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. As mentioned above, it is recommended that everyone distribute prasad, considering every living being a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Even in feeding the poor, one should distribute prasad. In Kali Yuga, there is scarcity of food almost every year, and thus philanthropists spend lavishly to feed the poor. For this they invent the term Daridra Narayan Seva. This is prohibited. One should distribute sumptuous prasad, considering everyone a part of the Supreme Lord, but one should not juggle words to make a poor man Narayan. Everyone is related to the Supreme Lord, but one should not mistakenly think that because one is related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has become the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. Such a Mayavad philosophy is extremely dangerous, especially for a devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore strictly forbidden us to associate with Mayavadi philosophers. Mayavadi bhashya sunile hai sarvanash. If one associates with the Mayavad philosophy, his devotional life is doomed. Hare Krishna. One should offer prasad to demigods, the saintly persons, one's forefathers, the people in general, one's family members, one's relatives, and one's friends, seeing them all as devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. So this chapter is entitled Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. Before I speak, I would like to beg the blessings of all the assembled devotees and all the senior devotees. I'm totally unqualified to speak, but by their grace, I would like to speak a few words in this connection. So, the theme here is that prasad should be offered to the demigods and saintly persons. And if you want to feed the poor, Srila Prabhupada says, then distribute prasad. And ordinary food does not have the connection to Krishna. So therefore, prasad must be offered. And another important theme here that Prabhupada mentions is that some people feed the poor thinking that the poor are also Narayan. They're all gods. They're amshas of God and they're equal to gods. And they call them Daridra Narayan Seva. And how this is a false conception, false philosophy that they have. Misleading philosophy, which is not supported in the Vedic literatures. So this is the main theme. Hare Krishna. So, the world at large, basically, do not accept two very important conclusions of the Vedic scriptures. Two very important. One is that the reincarnation. They do not accept. And secondly, the law of karma. And also they don't accept. Mostly because the majority of the world are Judeo-Christians, Jewish Christians, Islamic and those kind of traditions. They don't accept. So naturally, when you don't accept these very important conclusions of the scriptures, their approach to anything and everything that they do is going to be different. When it comes to helping the people, helping the poor, giving charity, and things like that. Isn't it? They don't believe in this very important principle. So, you know, I would like to share an experience which I had in the train. very nice thing, not a, something negative, but there was a person who was a preacher. He was a Muslim, and he seems to be very decent, well-educated, and well-read in the Quran. He knew a lot of verses and things like that. So I was coming from Mayapur, and this person was distributing pamphlets. Take shelter of Allah, take shelter of Allah, like that. So I was getting bored on the train, so I thought, let me do some discussion. It's nothing to do. I was some boy. So I thought, I requested him, can you please come and sit and we can just talk, and I want to learn something about your religion. So he's very respectable and very well behaved person, because I thought I should not speak to anyone. He seemed like a good person, so I called him and he sat next to me. So I asked him a few questions. I told, in your religion, how do you understand that if a child is born and he dies within 2 months or a month or something, so then how do you understand that God is merciful and he gives everyone equal opportunity to choose his actions, which will determine his destination, eternal destination, either in heaven or hell? It's an important question, because they don't believe in reincarnation, and it is only one birth that you take. And in that one birth, in that lifetime, your actions determine whether you'll go to hell or heaven for eternity. For eternity. For all time to come. So I asked him this very important question, that if a child is born, and if he's, how do you answer this on the basis of your scripture? So then he quoted Quran, and he quoted the Islamic with the verses. He said that it is a test of the Lord that the parents should forbear all the difficulties which come in their lives. And therefore, one must be duly surrendered to God in all respects. I said, that's great, that's right. But then how do you understand? That's a test for the parents, right? What about the child? What wrong has the child done? I mean, the child, why does he have to die? Doesn't he get the choice to choose his actions, whether right or wrong? So again he said, no, God is all merciful and he knows what is right and wrong. And he puts situation by which everyone is tested. I said, that's true. But still, what about the child? So then he looks at me and he says, well, so there was no answer for that. Because if one says that, well, God knows what's best, and I discussed with another person and he said that God knows what is best for everyone, and he makes a situation by which it is the most appropriate situation for that person to come close to God. But then that makes God unequal, isn't it? I mean, if God is making different arrangements for different people, and if all people are equal in the eyes of God, then why are there different circumstances for people to make their choices? So I said, no. So he didn't have any answers. All right, so I said, next question. So I said, see, recently we are hearing a lot of, cases of people who can remember their past lives. Scientists are researching, not just common people, scientists are researching and finding out so many people who can remember their past. So how do you account for that? Because I heard that in your scripture there is no account for a rebirth. It's only one life. So he said, now I'm just going to repeat as he said, all right? So he said, in Hindi he says, मैं आपको बताऊं सच बताऊं सर हाँ बताओ सच बताऊं आपको आई सेड हाँ बताओ थर्ड टाइम इधर सच में बताऊं आपको आई सेड यस ऐसा हो ही नहीं सकता आई सेड व्हाट आई मीन यू हैव टू गिव मी समथिंग बेटर देन दैट इजंट इट आई मीन यू जस्ट डिनाइंग दैट इट एग्जिस्ट्स इट्स लाइक It doesn't make sense. You have to give me something more satisfying, something more logical. That this is a phenomenon which is seen so widely these days, and it is all over the news and everywhere in the internet. You find so many such hits of people remembering their past life, people taking birth again, and there are so many such cases. How can you just say that as a hoich nahi sakta? You know, it's not possible. Just not possible, he's saying. It is not possible. It's not there in the scripture. It is not possible. It cannot happen. I said, it is as broad, it's as bright as day, and if I say it's day and you say it's not possible, it's not a logical argument. You have to give me more satisfying replies. So he said, no, that's what it is. So I could understand by the talk that they don't have any conception of rebirth and they don't have any conception of the law of karma. That why people suffer in this world, and you know, and therefore people's approach to that is different. So Prabhupada explains it very clearly that just like a small child, if he fights with his father and he's a son of a very wealthy man, multi-millionaire, and having a factory and machines and everything, he's a millionaire. But if he fights with his father, then he comes on the street, he becomes a beggar. And he doesn't know how to do business, he's not independent, he just squanders all his money and comes on the street. Eventually his friends desert him, he becomes diseased, you know, he's completely useless. So in such a situation, the only solution for him is to clear up the misunderstanding with his father. Because then he goes back home and everything is good for him. No matter of any help to him in terms of medicine or in terms of clothing or in any respect will satisfy him as much as his union with his father. And the Vedic literature is so wonderfully explained, Prabhupada so wonderfully explains that all the problems, the poverty that we see in this world, as Prabhupada says, can be only be mitigated. All the sufferings in this world can only be mitigated if there is a connection with God. That is a solution. And distributing prasad is such a powerful method to establish that connection with God, you know, that it will actually solve all the problems of the society. But people don't understand that. You know, what to speak of abroad, even in India, one of our preachers who was preaching in IIT, Delhi, he was once told by his colleagues that you Hare Krishnas only know to preach to the educated people. All the wealthy people, you all go and catch. Why don't you do something for the poor people? Do for them. All these educated people, you're going and preaching. Do something for the poor on the street. So he said, actually, do something for reducing poverty, he said. So he said, actually, I am reducing poverty. He said, you're reducing poverty? What is this? How can you reduce poverty? He says, yeah, by preaching to these people who have been gifted by God with all the facilities to rightly use them is misusing them. And they are engaging in sense gratification. By their karma, they are liable to be born in a beggar's house in the next life. So by preaching to them now, we are forbidding them or preventing them from taking birth in the, you know, jhopadpatti is in the next life, so therefore we are reducing poverty. So then he didn't have anything much to say, I'm sure. And then we see, you know, I was just checking the internet for some statistics on this. It explained that, you know, one of the biggest organizations for charity is the Melinda Gates Charity Foundation. And there's this Warren Buffet, one person, looking at Bill Gates gives such a huge charity. He also gave a charity, one of the biggest charities given in the history of the world, is a $37 billion donation. For what? If you see the goals, the mission statement of this organization is what? To eliminate extreme poverty and to reduce the health situation, the health problems in this world. So how are they doing that? They're doing it through research and medicine and distributing food and things like that. It is not prasad. So we can see that people do not, when they do not have this understanding of reincarnation, they do not understand why people are suffering. They do not understand that it is because of their past bad action, their envy towards God, it is because of which they have got that situation. They can never come to this conclusion of the Bhagavats. What to speak of great philanthropists, but also even Indians, pious Hindus don't understand that. Even if they intellectually understand it, they don't apply it. It happens. It happens to all of us. Just like there was one person, he came to our six-session course. And after the fifth day, the law of karma, he told one of the preachers that, Prabhu, what a session. Amazing. The law of karma session is so good. It is the best. You are excellent. You are wonderful. What a philosophy. I am so excited for having to come into this movement and to understand this wonderful philosophy. So he was very excited and everything glorified. And the devotee said, yeah, please take prasad also. And just so he took prasad and then after that he left. So when he was going out, he went to collect his slippers. And his very expensive shoes got lost, got stolen. He got so angry, he never turned up in the temple again. So he understood the law of karma, but he never actually accepted it in his heart. That was clear, isn't it? So he was blaming the authorities that, you know, mandir ne mera chappal ghuma diya, you know, such experience. He never came again. So it's one thing that your worldview is based on our values. What we see in this world is based on our values. Just like a businessman, anywhere he goes, everywhere he goes, he sees money. He sees money. You know, just like that, we cannot actually truly understand the Vedic conclusions. And we cannot come to the right solutions for the problems of this world. So we can understand that. And there is enough proof. We can see that not all poor people are pious. Not all poor people are pious. We can see that. Even in slums and things like when you go, many times our devotees go to distribute prasad. And they have this experience. Like one devotee went with prasad. And he was distributing prasad. And he said, prasad chahiye? Do. So he said, Hare Krishna bolo. Hare Krishna bolo. So he says, dene ka to de, nahi to phut. You don't want to chant Hare Krishna. Yeah. Not all of them are pious. So, you know, I was in Calcutta railway station once, you know, going to Remuna. So there we were opened up our tiffins and we were distributing prasad. So one beggar came on the Calcutta station and he said, food. So we didn't have much, but thought we should give. So we gave them one chapati. He saw the chapati, he became so angry. He took the chapati and threw it back on us. So you see that we can understand it is not that always poor people are pious, that we should help them. Yes, the poor people in the Vedic times were the Brahmanas. They were supposed to be poor and Vaishnavas. You know, just voluntarily accepting the life of poverty to set an example that one should live a simple lives. But also there are another class of poor people who are sinful people who are not poor because of their, you know, voluntary giving up of opulences but out of their bad karma. So therefore, help must be given in appropriate ways, not just blindly thinking, oh, they're poor, so we should help them. No, we should help them, but how to help them, we should be understood according to the Shastra. Therefore, in the Gita, it is said, Dātavyam iti yad dānam diyate inupi kārine deshe kāle cha pātre cha tad dānam sātvikam smritam. That there are everything, yagya, dān, tapa, foods, everything is in the three modes. And considering the right time, place, and circumstance, when it is given, something is given, along the directions of the scriptures, then it is charity in the mode of goodness. So here, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that distribution of prasad is very important. It is the most important thing to do. So when you accept this principle, that prasad must be distributed, a very fundamental thing takes place. That naturally, when you follow this process, you have to accept what? That Krishna is the enjoyer. You have to accept that Krishna has his choices. You have to accept he is the Lord and he is going to give us the mercy. We need his mercy. We have to accept that he is a person. Is not. Because the moment you accept this principle of prasad, you have to accept these four things. He's a person, he's the enjoyer, and he has his choices, and we need his mercy. These four things we have to accept. So we see that how consciously or unconsciously a person naturally comes to the highest understanding of God realization, self-realization, by accepting this process. So, that's how it is. Like when Srila Prabhupada was once in one place and one Arya Samaji, he came to Prabhupada and he says, you devotees are offering this plate of food to the idol And you think God eats this food? So then Prabhupada says, Krishna in the Gita says that I eat. And you are saying he does not eat. So whom should I accept? Should I accept the word of God or should I accept the words of a rascal like you? It's pretty simple. As crystal clear as ever. Isn't it? I mean, whom should I accept? Krishna says that patram pushpam phalam toyam yo me bhaktya prachati tadham bhakti upaharatam ashnami pratatmana. I accept. So therefore, by offering food to the Lord, consciously, unconsciously, you come to the conclusion that God is a person. And he has his choices. That is also very important. You can't just cook anything. Like once I'll tell you an experience. When I was in my final year of post-graduation, it was Bakri Eid time. And I was just a new devotee at that time. And someone rang the doorbell. So I opened the door and one very sweet little girl with a smiling face, she looked at me and she said, here is for you. And she gave me a packet. I was so moved and I said, oh, what is it? Thank you very much. And I took it. I said, today is Bakri Eid, so we have our offering, chopped meat. So this is for you. We are distributing all. We just had our... And I was holding that in my hand and I said, we don't eat these things. Please give it back. Take it. And you know, I was thinking that, you know, when it comes to accepting prasad, you know what has to be offered, what not has to be offered. You can't offer anything. And Krishna says that, isn't it? I mean, that if you are a Krishnatarian, then you can't offer meat. You can't. So naturally, you become vegetarian when you have to offer prasad. You know, it's like that. Krishna says that in the Gita. That food, there are different kinds of foods which are there in the three modes. Ayu, sattva, balarogya, sukhapriti, vivardhanaha, rasyaha, snigdha, stiraridya, ahara, sattvika, priya. That food that are in the mode of goodness must be offered. Yata yamam gatarasam, puti parvushitam evayat. Uchishtam api chamedyam, bhojanam tamasa priyam. That food which are untouchable, things we cannot be offered. So naturally, a person accepting this principle becomes a vegetarian. So you see, all good qualities manifest simply by accepting this process of being a distributor of prasad. And very important thing is, God is the enjoyer and we are the secondary enjoyers. We are not the enjoyers. So naturally, you tend to put your preferences at the back seat. And not only that, you enjoy so much, isn't it? We also enjoy so much. I mean, recently I was in Mira Road and one devotee was telling statistics. Paramhams Prabhu started a program. Gopinath Prabhu did one program. I handed it over to him. It's a weekly program, it seems. And he takes the program. And in the beginning of the program, there are 30 people. And by the prasad time, there are 200 people. Amazing. Isn't it? From where they come, don't know. But exactly in prasad, they're there. So why? That goes to show that prasad is such a powerful preaching tool. Therefore, Bhakti Charu Maharaj says, he gives a formula, that when a person comes to Krishna consciousness, what inspires him the most? There are certain things, isn't it? Aspects of Krishna consciousness, like a kirtan or, you know, a lecture. And so he gives a formula. He says that something like 60% is the love, affection that devotees give to the newcomers, making them feel comfortable. And he says that around 15% is prasad. People love prasad. So it's a very important part of, so it is enjoyable. There was a recent article in the newspapers about one prison in Bangalore. It is called as a Prapanna Agrahar prison in Bangalore. And there are 4,700 inmates who are living there, double the capacity. And the criminals are refusing to give their bail and get out because there are other criminals who are waiting for coming in. What is the reason why these criminals don't want to get out of the prison? Because the local ISKCON center is distributing prasad there. The Bangalore Mirror says, okay, the paper says, the reason is healthy food being served by ISKCON or the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, a Hindu evangelist organization, lunch and dinner. Piping hot rice, two vegetables and a spicy lentil dish called sambar, and buttermilk. A dessert is added on festival days and national holidays like Independence Day and also once a week. One prisoner, Raja Reddy, he was interviewed. Raja Reddy was interviewed. So he says, he has been arrested 20 times in 30 years for theft, robbery and burglary. And he said, his words, when we are getting tasty, nutritious food three times a day here, why should we go out and commit crimes? So we see the power of prasad. Isn't it so powerful? So that is the process of bhakti yoga, because the distribution of prasad is a very important aspect of the most powerful path of yoga, that is bhakti yoga. And the Vishnu Puran says that simply by honoring prasad once, one gets the credits of fasting for 6 months. The Brahma Vaivarta Puran says that when one person is full with prasad, he walks on the earth, he purifies the earth, and when he goes to the holy place, he purifies the holy places. When he touches someone, that person is purified. Honoring prasadam is equivalent to performing millions of horse sacrifices. So Krishna says that, that yat karoshi yat ashnasi yat juhosi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you distribute, do it in my name. Offer it to me, offer it. That has always been the practice. Om tat sad idi nirdesho brahmanastri vidasmritaha brahmanastena vedascha yajnascha vihitapura. In the 17th chapter, Krishna explains that it has always been the Vedic tradition that anything given away has to be done by the chanting of the Om Tat Sat, in the name of God. All the Brahmanas did that in consultation with the Shastras. Tasmat Om Iti Udaritya. Therefore, chant Om Tat Sat. Chant the names of God. In the name of God, distribute. Distribute food, distribute anything that we want to do in the name of God. That has to be there. Not anything basically, but it has to be done under guidance. So prasad is very powerful, and in the Vedic literatures there are so many such cases, episodes which extol the glories of prasad. One such case is of Dasharathi. That Ramanujacharya, when he was going towards Sri Rangam, he comes to a place called as Mithila Shalagram. And in that place there are many Shaivites. So wherever he goes, there are a host of devotees who come and attend his programs to listen to his lectures and talks. But the Shaivite devotees, the devotees of Lord Shiva, would never come and attend. So Ramanujacharya thought of a way, a method to convert them. So what did he do? So there was a lake there where people would come to collect water for drinking. So Ramanujacharya, he told Dasharathi, just go wash your feet there. Dasharathi was a great Vaishnav. Go wash your feet there. So Dasharathi went and washed his feet. The whole lake became Charanamrit. After that, when all the people came to drink water, they all became devotees. All the Shaivites and the Vaishnavas alike started coming and attending Ramanujacharya's program. And the whole place, Mithila Shalagram, became a Vaishnav's place. Just by drinking the Charanamrit of Dasharathi. And even today, if you go there, you'll find the deity of Dasharathi with his feet in the water there. In that place. Power of Charanamrit. So therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that these three things are very powerful. Bhakta pada dhuli, bhakta pada jal, bhakta bhukta avishesha teen mahabal. That the remnants from the plate of a devotee, from the mouth of a devotee, the water that has washed the lotus feet of a devotee, and the dust from the lotus feet of a devotee are three very powerful methods to actually transform the heart. We know about how Narada, when he was young, he honored the prasad of the Bhakti Vedantas in his past life. As a young boy, he served the Bhakti Vedantas, served them prasad, and with their permission took the remnants. And by honoring that prasad, in his next life, he became Narada, the great saint. So the secret behind being a great saint like Narada is what? Prasad. So we see that there is so many miracles also which take place by prasad. There's one case of Prana Gopal, a devotee in Mayapur. He was a cook in Simantadweep and Mayapur. And he was a cook. And one day his son became so sick that doctors said that there is no chance, he's going to die. So when he lost all hope, he changed the hospital, took him to another hospital. All the doctors said that his condition is too bad for recovery. He cannot recover. Mostly he will be dying in a few days. So he thought, at least if my son is dying, let him go back to Godhead. So he comes back, he takes, because he was a pujari, he was a cook for the Jagannath deities there. He came and collected tulsi water, tulsi and some charnamrit water. And he went to his son and put it in his mouth just before he dies. And the next day, he recovered from his disease. And within a week, he was discharged. Quite a miracle. Something shocking, actually. Many people couldn't understand what is happening. But this is a true story which took place. Even it seems that a few years ago, there was a lady who spoke about her childhood days when she was young, that she was blind and she couldn't see, actually. And her mother, she tried all remedies, but there was no use of it. So then finally, someone recommended that you should go take some Charnamrit. That Charnamrit of Lord Jagannath is really very powerful. It may help. So for 7 days, she took Charnamrit. And gradually, she got back her eyes. And even in her old age, she never wore spectacles. She herself gives testimony to the fact that, yes, I have received the mercy of the Mahaprasad of Jagannath. Also, we see in our temple, one of our devotees says that there's a utility truck in our temple which does not have any license for going on the roads of Bombay. Every time an RTO officer catches him, he gives prasad here. And he somehow gets away. Everyone likes prasad. That same devotee was once caught, it seems, by the RTO officer. Caught him. He says, "Stop!" And he thought, "Today I'm caught." He says, "What happened?" So he says, "You have prasad with you?" He was stopped for prasad, not for license. That is the license which devotees give. Everyone loves prasad. So very important things are there which takes place, interesting things which takes place, the lilas. And finally, of course, Srila Prabhupada says that the jiva is not Narayan and he does not become Daridra. So there are people who say that people must be cared for, they must be helped. How? By giving them, you know, prasad. Because they are Narayan, they are Daridra Narayan. But Prabhupada says, no. The jiva is jiva, Narayan is Narayan. The jiva is not Narayan, and Narayan is not jiva. And certainly Narayan does not become Daridra. So what people do, the Mayavadis, the impersonalistic interpreters of the Shastras, they equate the living entity, the infinitesimal soul, with the Supreme God. And not only that, they perform the second blasphemy of calling Narayan Daridra. Narayan can never be Daridra, he is Lakshmipati. So Prabhupada condemns this philosophy. So, you know, this philosophy is very, very rampant. Very rampant everywhere. That Daridra Narayan, we are all gods. Like, you know, I'd like to share one experience. When I was in Uttar Pradesh, Bareilly, I was visiting my mother. So one of the neighbors, one lady, she came. So she saw me. "Are you, aapka beta brahmachari hai?" "Oh, achha, achha." So I said, "Yeah, he's Brahma, he's gone." I was new that time. I was not knowing much philosophy at that time. Certainly I had faith, but I couldn't defend myself so much. So she said, "Why didn't you come to our house for some tea or something like that?" So I said, "I don't drink tea. So I can't." So he said, "No, I have a brother who's very much interested in discussion on philosophy. So certainly it will be very nice if you come." So I said, "Okay, then I'll come." So then I went. So I was sitting there and my mother had also come. And then this young boy, he comes And he also sits on the table and he looks at me and he says, "Aap mandir mein kyun jaate hain?" And I said, "Excuse me. I mean, mandir mein kyun jaate hain? What do you mean by that?" So I said, "Are aap man laga ke dekhi, aap hi Bhagwan hai. Bhagwan har jagah hai. Man laga ke dekhi, bas. Mandir jane ki koi aavashyakta nahi hai." So then I looked at him. He was wearing denim shirt, t-shirt, denim overcoat, wearing a denim this thing. And he was in his 12th standard. And he had appeared for the 12th, I think, twice. So, and I was thinking, what kind of a God he is, isn't it? But I didn't tell him that we can't be God. Certainly, we are struggling to pass our examinations. What kind of gods we are. But the thing is, I could understand for the first time, when I used to read Srila Prabhupada's books, that, you know, everyone is God and, you know, everything is, what is this rubbish? I used to think, I mean, it's not practical. But then when I met these people, I could understand that, yes, this kind of philosophy is very, very popular. That we are all gods. You know, just meditate and you become God. So I said, wow. So just like in a court, you know, when someone is convicted of something, they're accused. After many days of being accused, he finally is frustrated, or say he goes to the judge and he says, I confess, I have done the crime. And the lawyers are also looking at him, what is he saying, you know? I mean, why is he doing that? And they say, no, I confess, I have done. And then he says, this is how I did the crime, this is how I went about it, and this is why I did it. And he gives the whys and hows of the crime. When that happens, the case is closed. The judgment is pronounced and the case is closed. Isn't it? Now if the person, the convict himself, takes the blame and he accepts his fault, case is closed. So similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came, he revealed the confession of the greatest of the preachers of the impersonalistic school of thought, that is Shankaracharya, by quoting the Padma and the Shiva Puran, where he explains the reason why Shankaracharya came and preached. And Shankaracharya's own words as Lord Shiva, that why he preached the philosophy that he preached. There's a wonderful words which I came across here in the Purana. He says, Swagamahi kalpitastam tvamcha janan mad vimukhan kuru mamcha gopaya yenasya srishtir esho tarottara. Addressing Lord Shiva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, said, please make the general populace averse to me by imagining your own interpretation of the Vedas. Also, cover me in such a way that people will take more interest in advancing in material civilization just to propagate a population bereft of spiritual knowledge. So God himself, as he explains the Gita, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samavrita, that I do not reveal myself to the sinful. So therefore, he tells Lord Shiva, you do the service of propagating a philosophy by which people will be thoroughly confused and never come to the right conclusion, and they can advance in materialistic civilization. So concoct such a philosophy and do this thankless service. And Shiva himself, speaking with Parvati, that very famous verse, Mayavadam Asat Shastram Prachannam Bodham Uchyate, where he says that it is covered Buddhism, impersonalistic school of equating the ordinary living being, ordinary Jiva, to the Supreme Lord Narayan, is an impersonalistic thought. And this school is actually what? Covered Buddhism. This kind of philosophy is covered Buddhism. And he says, my dear Parvati, in the form of a Brahman in the age of Kali Yuga, I teach this imagined Mayavad philosophy in order to cheat the atheists. I describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be without form and without qualities. Similarly, in explaining Vedanta, I describe the same Mayavad philosophy in order to mislead the entire population towards atheism by denying the personal form of the Lord. So we can understand, it is like Shankaracharya, the main person, who himself is saying that I am preaching But actually, this is all bogus. So therefore it is, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us such a wonderful philosophy by which we can actually come to the correct understanding. So it was Srila Prabhupada who was an acharya who propagated and was known for smashing the Mayavad philosophy so heavily. Also, just like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he would quote, you know, the William Blake, famous author in the West, he says that God exists and God is light for those who dwell in the night. But he doth a human form unto those who dwell in light. Something like that he said. He says that God exists and God is light for those who dwell in the night. But doth a human form, but God has a form. And he displays his form for those who dwell in the, you know, in the light. Those who are more enlightened, they can actually truly understand the higher aspect of God. That God is not without any attributes. It's not that without he's not having any attributes. He's got a form, he's got a person, he's an enjoyer. And all these things can be understood simply by the single process of distributing prasad and chanting Hare Krishna. Which Srila Prabhupada has given us the process. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Ram. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.